And now the game where people who have seen the treasures of the world take a detour to do something dumb. We call it Not My Job. Rick Steves was born, raised, and still lives in the Seattle area, but that doesn't mean he doesn't get around. He spent most of his adult life traveling the world. He wrote a series of best-selling guidebooks. He hosts a travel show for PBS, and he has ruined some of Europe's most treasured sites by sending hordes of Americans who follow his advice. Rick Steves, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So, you were born here in Seattle, in Edmonds, Washington?
Yeah, half hour north of here.
Half hour north of here. Mm-hmm. And you live right near where you grew up, right?
I can look out my window at work and see my junior high school.
Right.
Didn't go very far.
Really?
No.
And did you enjoy junior high school? Is that why you stuck around? Because I never want to see mine again, to tell you the truth.
Well, I never thought about Europe when I was in junior high. But
I understand. And you've made your name specifically as a guide to Europe. So what was it about Europe the first time you went there? You were like, oh, this is what I want to do. I'm going to come here for the rest of my life.
You know, I remember a long time ago there was roots, and everybody was tracking their roots and wanting to see tombstones with their names on it and stuff like that.
Oh, roots like, you know, like Alex Haley's roots.
That's right, And that didn't do anything for me, but I wanted to find my cultural roots, which happened to be in Europe. So
right.
I got over there, and it was quite interesting. There was different candy, different pop. I remember statuesque women in Germany with hairy armpits.
Oh. You're a 14-year-old boy. You go over to Germany like, oh, they have different candy. And then you notice the women with hairy armpits.
It had quite an impact on me.
I can imagine. You've made a career out of it. Now, you have these very large number of fans, people who follow your books and what you're best-selling and your TV shows, your specials on PBS. And they're called Ricknicks?
That's what I've heard, yes.
Yes. Why not Steverinos?
Maybe Steverino doesn't rhyme with picnic.
Aww.
Because my people have a lot of picnics.
They do.
Oh. And I don't know. I don't actually know where that came from, but I hear it a lot. And I guess there's a lot of people that are looking for somebody to sort through all the superlatives and tell them, if you got limited time, do this and not that. Normally
right.
people are just raving about everything, but that doesn't help you. You know, I'm tired of hearing people
so
say.
So do you actually say, I mean, will you tell people, you know, everybody goes over here, don't go over there, it's terrible, it's a tourist trap, avoid it.
Yes.
So like, give me an example. Tell the world someplace they shouldn't go that they think they might need to go.
Don't go to Oxford.
Don't go to Oxford?
Really? Now, here's the reason.
Please.
Americans have the shortest vacations in the rich world, and if you've got a short vacation, which we generally do, and you're going to England, which is part of the UK.
thank you.
Tonight is a continuing education.
I'm assuming you have enough time for one great university town. So the question is, not is Oxford good or bad? The question is Oxford or Cambridge better for your trip? And I think Cambridge is more fun as a sightseeing point of view.
There you are. It is, in fact, very lovely.
And then you save time for something entirely different, which is really fun.
Has anybody ever mistreated you? I'm sure it happens. You travel all over the world. And people have treated you rudely or ripped you off. And then you say to yourself in your best, like, Emperor Palpatine voice, I shall destroy you.
I got in a little bit of a tiff with the tourist people in the little town of Vicenza in Italy because they wouldn't provide a place for travelers to check their bag for the day if they're side-tripping in from Venice, which is like less than an hour away by train. And for two or three years, I came back and I said, all of these people with my book are coming to your town and there's no place for them to leave their bag. They're not going to spend the night. They just want to check the bag for 3 hours. And if you don't have a place to check bags at the train station, I'm going to take you out of my book. And I finally had to take Vicenza, the entire town, out of my book. Because they wouldn't do that at the train station.
And did it fade into the mists like Brigadoon?
The whole town. It ruined the town. That was the end of it.
It's destroyed. There are tumbleweeds rolling down the streets. And there are no tumbleweeds in Italy. You brought them somehow.
No, that's when they let
them
in.
That's an immense power, Mr. C.
Well, it's fun to do that. And it's
Do you ever, when you are dealing with somebody and maybe the tourist board isn't agreeable, do you ever just say one word, Vicenza?
No, but
you ever say one word to you?
You know the problem with.
Have you ever heard of a town called Vicenza?
Right.
Exactly. You know why not? Now, people who have seen you in PBS might be surprised to learn that, in addition to your travel, you're a huge pot advocate, right?
I've worked on that for 10 or 12 years now. I'm a board member of Normal, and I'm very proud that Seattle or Washington State and Colorado have legalized marijuana. Now we have a new sort of a sense of what the lower 48 means now. There's 48 states that are still working on this, but right. we have a
But I mean, does your advocacy in this issue ever sort of conflict with your vast audience and readership? I mean, would they be surprised to know this?
Yeah, once in a blue moon, somebody will email me and say, I know what you think about marijuana, and we're not going to take your tours or read your guidebooks, and all I can think is Europe's going to be more fun without you.
Yeah! So this marijuana enthusiasm explains why your top recommendation of things to do in Paris is just sort of look at the sky. I'm glad you found that funny. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I've been there.
Yeah. Well, Rick Steves, it's a pleasure to talk to you. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You're Rick Steves. What do you know about Steve Ricks?
Despite your many travels, Rick Steves, you've probably never crossed paths with many people in the world named Steve Ricks. So we're going to ask you three questions about these people who are sort of your reverse doppelgangers. Get two right, you'll win a prize of one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice in their voicemail. Bill, who is Rick Steves playing for?
Kyle Roylance Hart of Seattle, Washington.
There you go.
All right.
So we got on Google, and we found that there is a, quote, bespoke tailor out there named Steve Ricks. What is Steve Ricks tailor? What is his specialty? A, custom-tailored hazmat suits for discerning emergency workers. B, exact replicas of the outfits of each of the 11 different Doctor Who's, or I think we're up to 12 now. Or C, custom-made and custom-fitted cod pieces.
The only one I can really envision is C.
You're going to have a C, like
C,
custom.
Yeah.
So if you want your cod piece, you want it to be comfortable, you want it to be fit. No, actually, it was B, the Doctor Who outfit.
Wow.
If you're a Doctor Who fan and you want to dress like, say, the ninth Doctor, then you call him up and he will make your suit look exactly like Doctor Who.
Wow, that's a great service.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
All right, you still have two more chances. There's a number of musicians out there named Steve Ricks, including one whose art form is what? A, mixtapes to listen to while you're stoned. B, collages of found traffic noise. Or C, well, he's a male Stevie Nicks impersonator.
Whoa. Well, I can't picture Steve Ricks being a male Stevie Nicks.
So. We just sing all the songs, I guess, in a much lower register.
Yeah.
But move on. Okay.
Okay, I'll go with, just to keep up with the theme, A.
You're going to go A, mixtapes to listen to while you're stoned.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Ah. Yes.
All right. All right.
You and he have more than just your names in common. All right, this is exciting. You have one more. If you get this right, you win. Deep down in the Google results, we found a Steve Ricks mentioned in what book? A, The Mammoth Book of Killers Still at Large. B, How to Make Anything Out of Masking Tape. Or C, A Man, A Plan, Another Canal, Gowanus.
What?
I love the idea of masking tape. I'll go with B.
Masking tape?
Is that what it was?
You ever use masking tape?
Didn't sound like a confident response you got from Peter there.
They don't like that.
Let's see. I got one more. I'll go A then.
The Mammoth Book of Killers Still at Large.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
All right.
Good.
Woo for you.
If you're sleeping too well, I recommend to you The Mammoth Book of Killers Still at Large. No worry, Mr. Ricks is merely a witness to a victim's disappearance, not actually one of those killers. Bill, how did Rick Steves do in our quiz?
2 out of 3, so he's going to have a happy trip next time.
All right. Very well done. Congratulations. Rick Steves is America's best-selling guidebook writer and host of the public television show Rick Steves Europe. Rick Steves, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
What a pleasure. Thank you.
Son of Edmund.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man.